Was it difficult casting? Because I see like Lucre's role is very important, and she does a really good job of conveying that emotionality in certain like scenes, like towards the end when Jonathan sort of leaves again and sort of goes on that like spiral of depression. It's like a very important scene. So was it very difficult finding someone that could play that very well, like play very well off you?
Absolutely, absolutely. Destiny, she was in a short film of mine before The Quitter. So we had an opportunity, and I was strictly a director, so we had an opportunity to begin that relationship as actor. And her family and my wife, who played Georgie, Juliana, we all got to know each other well. We really loved her work in the short and asked if she privately auditioned for the feature, and gave her tons of material, because as you're saying, it was such a crucial role, important role. She did great. She came in with everything memorized. She made strong choices, and at the same time, I knew like her work ethic would be really strong. But we did, I did private coach her leading up to the production, and once we started filming, her family and her would live with us during the course of filming, because we were filming in Brooklyn, and they're from Pennsylvania. So we really were able to develop, these relationships and chemistry, and she took directing, direction really well, and we created a nice language. We had a nice little system in place, because when you're on set, there's a lot going on. So, as a director, I don't want to over intellectualize direction, especially to a kid, but she was really bright. And we had a nice little system where it was a 1 to 10, like almost like a volume, 1 to 10, and like dial it down to 2 or bring it up to 4, and she totally got all that stuff and the subtle keys, and just she has a great natural instinct as well. So we were really lucky, and didn't have to do like an incredible, like open call search. But it was scary because we knew she'd be an essential part to the film.
And was it tough juggling both those acting and directing duties? Because, it is a personal story, so was it hard like being objective, or was it easy to transition, like change both hats?
Yeah, it was the most difficult thing I've ever done. So, my background is I did start out as an actor for many years, and then I transitioned into filmmaking, and I love directing, and I really don't want to act. I know that sounds being a hypocrite right now, because I do act in the movies, but this is, like you said, a very personal opportunity. It was difficult. I think any actor is always terrified by the notion of it. But my confidence would eventually, grow and build as an actor, and I had a great support team around me where I would select certain crew members to be at the monitor. And while in between takes, I would go over and I was like, "Hey, what do you got for me?" And in the beginning, they were all like kind of, hesitant and nervous to give me any kind of feedback. And I'm like, "Come on, just give it to me in bullets. What do you got?" I know they were hesitating because they wanted to be constructive and things like that. But I'm like, "Bullets, bullets, give it to me in bullets." And their notes would get streamlined. And then I was able to process and do takes, fairly quickly and efficiently. And then I'd began to trust my instincts more and more, and I didn't have to rely on the feedback. And everyone was just so supportive, you know, because I wanted to put the attention on my other actors.
Yeah.
And then when you start hearing the other actors are like, hey, Ed, you didn't get your close up. I'm like, no, we don't need it. They're like, are you sure? You know, you should get. And, you know, I didn't want to be that director, you know, doing 10, 20 takes, you know, and it feels like a vanity project, but it's not. It totally wasn't. So, you know, it was really difficult, but, you know, I got into a really nice groove. And, you know, again, my approach as a director was the same approach as an actor, just to be really honest and truthful and keep it real and then try to stay in the moment as much as possible.
Yeah. And to be honest, like, in the film, it shows, like, deeper into the movie. I don't know if you shot it chronologically, but deeper into the movie, you can sort of see, like, the performance get more and more, like, complex as you sort of, like, see more layers, I guess, when, you know, early on, he's just, like, sort of going through life, and then, you know, when he sees Luca and Georgie, is like, you sort of see it hit him. So I commend you for that. It's sort of like you see it unfold. You're welcome. So being that you're from Brooklyn, what was it like, you know, filming this personal movie, even though it's not a vanity project, but what was it like shooting in New York?
Yeah. I mean, I love it. I love it. You know, I was born and raised in Flatbush, Brooklyn. You know, I love this place. It's close to my heart. It's my backyard. It's my everything. And, you know, I've done a lot of my projects here. But this one was special because I got to shoot in my actual neighborhood and some new neighborhoods that I haven't filmed in. So, you know, we shot in Midwood, Brooklyn, and that's actually where I live.
Not too far off from Flatbush.
We shot in Garrison Beach, which has that, like, New England feel, but it's really Brooklyn, you know, near the water. And then, you know, we shot at Coney Island, which has been shot, you know, a million times, but, you know, I wanted to do it in a fresh way, visually, and just keep it about the characters. There's just an energy, you know, like, when you're scouting locations in Brooklyn, and, you know, the store owners and the vendors and the homeowners, they were really supportive and got behind it.
Yeah. And I wanted to ask you, like, with Georgie and Jonathan's journey, they're going, like, parallel, because you sort of see, like, Georgie, she's also within herself, and then towards the end, you sort of see, like, that moment where she's in front of the ballerina pole, and sort of, you sort of see her opening up. So was it difficult, because it's almost like you have three characters' journeys, and they all go through a progression, so was it difficult juggling those three, especially since it's only, like, you got an hour and 20 minutes, but you did get through all three. So was it difficult being like, okay, you know, we have to have this moment to reflect this?
Yeah, I mean, and you're very sharp. I love the stuff that you're bringing up. You know, I think, like, outside of the story, you know, for Georgie, I mean, she lost her youth because of Jonathan, and I guess we could tell that she had a ballet future, and she had to give that up because, you know, of Luca. Yeah. So, you know, we were subtle about it, but, you know, there was a lot of damage done, you know, and you know, before the film starts, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, but it's just about, like, talking with the actors and talking about their backstories and their characters, and as long as they know that, you know, someone like you could pick up on that little moment at the ballet bar, showing that, wow, you know, did she give up ballet, did she quit, or did she have to quit because she was pregnant, whatever the reason is, but she, you know, she had dreams too. You know, and that's what I really like about Georgie as well, and, you know, she's not going to make it easy for Jonathan. It's not like, sure, yay, come be the father again.
Like she was waiting on him.
She holds a lot of resentment.
No, I was saying, like, she wasn't waiting on him or anything.
Exactly. Yeah, she had moved on. She became a, you know, she became independent. She went back home to Florida. You know, she's not going to rely on someone that's out of the picture. So when I resurfaced and we ran into each other, you know, she just gives me that look of death.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just like, but to, you know, Jonathan is determined. Like, you know, like the moment that you caught, like he has this epiphany where he does want to do right. He does want to make it better. And he, you know, you fall down 7 times, you get up 8, right?
Yeah.
So he's just gonna keep on trying to pursue his goal, to be the father he never was.
And was there any particular films you looked at for inspiration, or was this something that, you know, once you had the script, you were like, we're ready to go, or was there any, like, particular influence outside of your own life?
Absolutely, yeah. So, you know, even though it was an idea of mine, we brought in another Brooklynite, Bill Gullo, to write the screenplay. And we spoke about films like Kramer versus Kramer.
Yeah.
You know, Blue Valentine, as well as, you know, Bad News Bears, the Walter Matthau role, you know, how that the coach is so just grumpy and in a rut, kind of like Jonathan in the beginning, you know, at the batting cage, you know, and he just works this mundane job, and then doesn't want anything to do with baseball. So those were some, you know, influences and you know, with The Quitter and my past work, I do like to, like, weave in fiction and nonfiction to my work, you know. And, you know, just to really make it specific and add, you know, other elements on top of what's there already. And you know, just keep on challenging every part of the process, you know, to make it as strong as possible.
Yeah. And was there anything you particularly learned about yourself or that you say you take away from making this film? Like, on your next film, you're like, I learned that, or I'm not going to do that again.
yeah, I mean, it's always, I say this, that's a great question, because I keep on telling, you know, my producers this every day. I'm like, oh, I learned, you know, learned so much. It's overwhelming of what is, you know, what I've learned. You know, I can't even make it specific in terms of, you know, I'll generalize it that, you know, no matter how happy or pleased or not pleased you are with the results, and I am very happy with the results of this project, you know, it doesn't mean that you could just sit back and apply that to the next one.
Yeah.
You have to do even better. You have to take it to another level. So, you know, just like on set, you know, I want to make every day better than the last day. And, you know, each day needs to get stronger and stronger. But, you know, just basic things like having patience and, you know, really challenging for the material shot, but really challenging the film, you know, trimming a couple of seconds here, trying things, and never settling, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, that's something I know already, but I still stand by. You know, don't settle and keep on trying to make the overall product as strong as possible.
Definitely. And is there any plans for your next project? Do you want to make another personal story, or are you looking for something maybe to step outside and maybe just focus on directing?
Yeah, absolutely. For you know, I think some of my, you know, current projects and future projects that I'm developing now will have that personal touch, but you know, for the next one, I definitely want to just direct and produce. you know, I love, you know, acting is great, but I love working with actors. I love the whole process. It's very important. You know, I'm very character driven as a director. But in terms of the next one, yeah, I'm definitely going to just direct and produce. And it will be a personal story again, I'm sure. There's a couple of things that I'm working on and have some plans, so we'll see what happens.
Yeah. And being that you love working with actors, what was it like with their entire cast? Because it seemed like everyone was in sync, you know, from the smallest characters.
Yeah.
So what was it like on set or off set?
Yeah, I mean, I try to create, like, a harmonious kind of environment for actors to work in on set and crew. Yeah. And, you know, we're very selective on, in terms of, like, hiring crew. You know, the highest position to the lowest position, because it's not even high or low, but you just need the right synergy on set.
Yeah.
You know, a great production assistant with a great attitude is really gonna, you know, it's gonna carry. Oh, it's contagious. You know, with the crew, and you know, a gaffer who's positive and you know, just having that right attitude. So I think that, you know, we did a really good job putting a crew together and then bringing in the right actors and, you know, just keeping it light and fun and, you know, giving people full permission to try things and fail and succeed. You know, it's not that kind of set where they're screaming and yelling. Of course, there's intense and stressful moments, but I really try to, you know, have this atmosphere where, hey, we're making a movie at the end of the day. There's worse things going on in the world right now.
Yeah, definitely.
You know? So let's just have some fun. Let's have some fun, and, you know, we have a great opportunity here to do something special.
Yeah.
You know, and then in terms of the actors, so some actors I knew already. We brought in a casting director, so we met, you know, new actors that, you know, we didn't know before. So it's a combination of mixing people that you've worked with before, working with new people, and like you're catching too. You know, from the littlest role is crucial. You know, from the littlest part, because there are no small parts, as they say. You know, they're small actors.
Yeah.
So everything is crucial. Like I go to interviews when my team is interviewing production assistants. I want to meet them. I want to talk to them, and I want to make sure they're a right fit. And you have to respect everyone at any level, because those production assistants one day could be running a studio and have the power if they want to hire me for something. You know?
Yeah.
You always got to be very respectful and, you know, friendly and professional to anyone on your set, and that's what we really try to carry through on our sets.